Time to look at Frances Hodgkins. Frances Hodgkins in the digital age. The influential artist's complete catalogue of work is now available online thanks to Auckland Art Gallery, Toi o Tāmaki. And the exhibition was created in celebration of the 150th anniversary of her birth. It includes more than 1,200 paintings, watercolours and drawings. And curator Mary Kissler has worked closely on the project. She joins me now. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Jesse.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Who is Frances Hodgkins?
Who is Frances Hodgkins? Now, there's a question. Frances Hodgkins was a highly independent, quite determined woman who set out at a time when women weren't meant to travel alone and really traversed parts of Europe in the early days always with somebody in accompaniment. And, you know, her mother was worried she would be travelling alone and get into trouble. But she just...
Mothers still worry about that.
Mothers still worry about that, absolutely. And, yeah, even when your son is 53. but, you know, she when she got to Europe, she was determined to discover what modernism was about, and that became her career. And she travelled. I mean, the exhibition is really based on many of the places she travelled to, but also the way in which her work changed when she travelled. Hmm. And not every artist evolves, but she really kept evolving. And because we wanted to do the catalogue raisonnée, which is what, in fact, the website is, a new form of catalogue raisonnée, if you like.
Sorry, what's that word?
Well, a catalogue raisonnée, it's a French term, which means a reasoned catalogue, which means that every work that you publish in that, say you were doing one on Gainsborough, that every work has been looked at and studied and is believed to be a genuine Gainsborough. Mm. So whichever artist it is, that's what you would do. And Rodney Wilson, a former director of Auckland Art Gallery, actually was doing a book, a catalogue raisonnée, in the 1990s. And he had a publisher who went under and it never got done. And it got put in the back of the library. You know what places are like. Things get piled up in front of them. It was only when we were taking the gallery apart to start the redevelopment in 2006 that we discovered everything.
Wow.
Now, we knew there were some index files, but we also found boxes with the transcripts. But, of course, it finished in 1992. And works get sold, they get gifted, they get exchanged, they get lost, they get, you know, their attribution changes. Mm. So a work that, from a photograph you might have thought was a Frances Hodgkins in 1950... in 2019, sometimes they don't look quite so good.
Mary, people might be surprised to hear that an artist's complete work could be in such a jumbled sort of manner that you wouldn't know exactly where every Frances Hodgkins was.
You imagine, you think about your family's photographs. Yeah. Do you know which members of your family have got what family photographs and where they're kept? You don't, do you?
Yeah.
We don't. And there are certain records. You know, if works go into a public collection, it's easy.
Yeah.
You know, you've got that record. And if there's a clear provenance, that is a tracing back from the time a work was done to the first time it was displayed to who owned it, then it's easy. Mm. But often, you know, she gave works to members of her family, she posted them to friends, she scrumpled some of them up and said, they're not good enough, I don't want to keep those, and somebody got them out of the rubbish bin. You know, there are far more works than we have yet. And I think it really should have been called the never-to-be-completed Frances Hodgkins, the website, because somebody will sell their work tomorrow or somebody in England will sell a work to somebody in New Zealand and we'll discover it. You know, people change the titles of works.
But unlike a book, you can add to this one, right?
Absolutely. And that was the thing. You see, if we'd done a book, like Rodney Wilson's manuscript, it would be out of date the first time a work changed hands. This is what we can do in the digital age. Mm. We can not only have the record of all the works, but when we get more information, we can correct it because that constantly needs doing. So this is an ongoing project forever and a day, really. But what we've done on the website and why we did call it the complete Frances Hodgkins is that it's not just the artworks. It's the photographs that we have in our archive. It's all of the letters that we've been able to get access to and permission to transcribe, because her writing, I have to say, it wasn't copperplate. And the more she travelled and writing in a hurry, you know, sometimes she'd write up the side of a page or her lines would start sloping. But you can bring up the original letter and then you can read the transcript.
Yeah, that's good.
Now, that is a godsend. It makes it so much easier, but brilliant. Now, there's a lovely woman in York, in England at the moment, who's doing a PhD on Frances Hodgkins. And I met her last year, and I sent her, because originally we entered everything that had been on an index card into an Excel spreadsheet, and then only recently has it got uploaded into our Vernon database and then onto the website. But she can now go into our website and do a search for any painting that she's trying to locate, and hopefully that information will be correct. So for her, it's like somebody has just, you know, she's just won lotto. Mm-hmm. It's changed her life as a researcher. And that's what we want to do. I mean, there have been wonderful researchers in the past, you know, who've written about Hodgkins, have done catalogues, done beautiful exhibitions, all of that kind of thing. So we see this as a great working tool for anyone with an interest. You know, a family member, somebody who thinks their aunt had a painting, whatever. You know, somebody writing a doctorate.
You have arranged them by genre, among other ways that you've categorised them, and it's an interesting way to see how diverse her work is.
It is. But we also were thinking, how are people going to come into this? It's all right for us to be embedded in it. You know, we've been working on it for years now. But what's it like for somebody who comes to this website for the first time? What might they be searching for? And we also felt that it had to be very visual right on the first page, because that lures you in as well. And it sort of sets you off on a journey. But one of the things that I really wanted to do right from the beginning was, I thought, wouldn't it be amazing if you could have an exhibition title, say from 1936, you click on that exhibition title and you bring up all the known identified works that were in that show. Now, we've got the list. That was all published many years ago now by Roger Collins and Ian Buchanan, two New Zealand scholars. So we've got the list up until about 1956, but we had to update it after that. And it's so that's part of the whole detective story, because also, like, there's a work in the exhibition at the moment which was only exhibited in France, so it was only exhibited with a French title. So there was I looking for April when I should have been looking for Avril. So it's sort of finding out all that kind of stuff as well.
As a purist, how do you feel about these works of, maybe you're not a purist, how do you feel about these works of fine art being viewed on a computer screen rather than in a gallery?
I think you have to do both. What happens when you stand in front of a painting or a print or a sculpture or whatever in an art gallery is it's a three-dimensional experience. And I don't know about you, but whenever I go to an art gallery, I just get completely absorbed. Mm-hmm. Whereas what you're doing with a screen is it's much more cerebral, really. You know, you're analysing what you're looking at in a different kind of way. But what this allows you to do that you can't do in an art gallery is to enlarge something, to look at the brush strokes, to try and look for the similarities and the differences. And, you know, for somebody like Hodgkins, who hardly ever named her work, let alone dated it, and she did when she was young, but she stopped doing that. And that is a researcher's nightmare. Mm. So it's looking for the similarities in technique at a certain period of her life that has helped us actually identify when some of the works were done.
How do you digitise a painting?
You photograph it.
That's all it is, eh?
Yep.
A high-quality photograph.
A really high-res photograph. Uh-huh. And then what you can do, of course, is you can digitise X-rays of the painting. You know, we can keep adding conservation information to the work because our conservators are doing research on the paintings all the time. So there's no limit to what this website can be, and it means that you know, there'll always be something fresh for people to look at.
I'm drawn to this one called Moldy Girl.
Yeah.
Do you have a favourite in the collection?
Can I have 100? Could I have 200?
No, you can have one. Mary.
I can't. That's the rules. I can't because it changes whatever one I'm researching that day is my favourite for the day, because as soon as I discover something about it, I get completely hooked. Mm. I do have personal favourites, but not just one. I love. There's certain things, like in the exhibition, there's a very early work, a traditional work called Susanna, which is the most beautiful portrait of a young girl. It's so sensitive. I love that. I love the work that she paints in Paris of a slightly middle-aged woman looking at herself in a mirror, and I love that for something quite different.
Does Susanna look like another famous painting?
Well, there are Dutch paintings. I mean, you're probably thinking of somebody like Vermeer. There's a lot of Dutch paintings, but this is actually done in France. You see if you can find, because there is a Google search, I never know how to do it, where you can find.
Is it a reverse? I think I was thinking of Girl with the Pearl Earring.
Yes, but it's when you look at it, there's really no difference. What it is, I'll tell
no,
you what
no
it is.
No similarity, you mean?
No, but it's the sensitivity, I think, that you're responding to, because that Susanna's a very, very sensitive painting, and she understands what it's like for a young girl to sit and be looked at far too closely. And, you know, you ask any teenage girl if she wants to be gazed at for that period of time, and they probably don't like it.
I've got 100 more questions, we're out of time. Well, so you'll have to come in again sometime.
It'd be lovely.
Was it you who spoke to Kim Hill recently, or
yep.
someone else? It was.
Yeah, I spoke to Kim about the exhibition.
Okay,
when
great.
It first
so if people want more, they can look at that. We'll find it online on the RNZ website or on the app. Kisler or Kisler?
Kisler.
Nice to talk to you again.
Nice to talk
Thanks.
To you, Jesse. Thanks.
Mary Kisler, who has been involved in this amazing project to digitise Frances Hodgkin's complete catalogue of work.